Coming to you live from Plug It Studios in beautiful Largo, Florida, we are keeping you plugged in with episode 357 of F5 Live. Refreshing technology.
That just happened, but
every other week.
This week, we talk about tech from Taipei, and we get really excited and really let down from the same event about video games. Say Nick.
Nick.
Look at that, you managed to do it with a little less of a delay than last week.
Without delay, never fails. I'm on it. I'm ready.
Is that what you are? You are on it?
Jump on it. Time's up, Scott.
What is wrong with you? It must be the smell. There must be something in here.
Because I'm back.
That is ruining you.
Look, I told you to take that out weeks ago.
Oh.
Now it's ruining me. I don't know. You, of course, my friend, must be talking about the new tech smell, I think.
Sure.
Scott, I don't know why. Because I think that this show right here is part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. I'm Nick.
And I'm Scott.
And we're here.
We are. I see us.
I'm back. Did you miss me? I'm not asking you. At all. Abram did. He's going to give me a thumbs up off camera. He missed me.
No, he didn't.
Nope.
That was the best.
Wow. All right. No love from the off-camera guy. I guess he's got their segment shortened tonight.
He's laughing about it, though.
He heard it, didn't acknowledge. Mean. We are here, wherever you may be. However, look, people in the chat room have missed me. That's all that matters.
I don't believe them.
Look, I don't even pay them to tell me that.
I believe that the people in the chat room are bots.
Well, that's not true. Then that means you hired a bot.
And that you
are controlling that.
Said, say yes, you missed me. Since Abram didn't, you pretend to him.
Remember when I raised my hand in public when we do a show? It's the same reaction, right?
This is what I'm saying.
You missed me! That's what I did. Wherever you may be and however you may be accessing our show, whether it be Facebook, iTunes, Zoom, F5Live.tv, on our home, a live stream, the Tech Podcast Network live stream, or on our apps, plugitslive.com/apps, works for, get this, all of Windows. Windowsy things exists in all realms.
It works
on all Windowsy things. And with 1 million units sold, might work on the LG webOS TVs.
I am still, super surprised that they've got 1 million of them out in the wild.
1 million. They're going to go 15 mil by the middle of 2015. That's what they're predicting. I wish them the best. I honestly do.
I swear to God.
Fantastic.
They're going to have more webOS televisions in the wild than I think there were ever phones in the wild.
Yeah, tablets is not fair because they were like $28 at one point.
Yeah.
Not fair. But definitely phones. Go check it out. Plugitslive.com/apps. Pick yours up for the webOS TV. Let us know if it works.
Maybe.
We don't have one. Go download it. See if it does.
And if you're from LG, fix that for us.
Make it work. Do these things to help us.
No, I mean, send us
a TV. Send us a TV. Oh, we talked about this.
Yeah.
We'll put it right here. It's
come on, LG.
Larger. I can touch it then.
We would love to have a webOS powered thing back here. Make it happen, LG.
So you can control your app from your tablet to control back here and flip through the show, have slides and stuff.
Oh boy, that would be fun.
Bring up Abram.
I bet I could write a Mouse Without Borders for webOS. That would be fun.
This, my friends,
right here.
All of you within ear and eyeshot of me.
Huh.
This is our flagship show, F5 Live, refreshing technology. Part of the Plug It's Live family of content. We air Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. For about an hour-ish. Or whenever we air for special events. That's a thing, too. Gotta remember that.
That's true.
And the show gets posted online in studio quality sound for your drive to work, school, or what have you, between Sunday night and Monday morning. That's the best thing. If you want to subscribe, do so. It's an incentive. You can download and consume the content as a zombie at f5live.tv. Click the subscribe buttons on the right-hand side, audio, video, social, special events, etc. But of course, our show is over there. Subscribe. But there's a bonus and an incentive for listening live. It's two. First one is, you can chat with us live in the studio every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time, by going to f5live.tv/join us. Stay tuned in the chat room.
You can also chat with my theoretical bots that are in the chat room.
You could chat with the bots. I get it's in my week.
Yeah.
Oh, Snapple. So the other incentive is the fact that you can stay tuned in the chat room. This is exclusive to our live listeners because reasons that we'll discuss in the segment later. It is the Tony Award winning Best of E3.
That's happening right now.
Yeah, I know. Best of E3 showing Nightcap. The Nightcap is a random type segment that we used to just screw around and talk to our fans. It was awesome. Called it a post-plug. Now, that was all well and good. We said we could make it the funnies, make it a thing, put it on the YouTube, and ask each other a random question. Very random question that most of the time is not thought of until right before the show, and sometimes isn't even thought of right now. Because I honestly have... I forgot it was my week. So can you talk about some previous...
I even gave you a reprieve last week.
Was it my week last week?
Yeah, technically.
Oh.
And I gave it to Mark instead.
It was Mark's week. It's always the guest's week when they're on.
Indeed.
That's
see,
true.
You got a reprieve.
Talk about what you talked about the last week. Deep learning.
That's right.
I've been so excited about that all week.
Have you?
I've been talking about it. Watson and the Skype thing.
Sure. So last week, we had two things that kind of culminated into a single topic, which was fun because that kind of stuff happens for us. We had at Code Conference, Satya Nadella from Microsoft showing off the Universal Translator that will be coming to Skype later in the year. And then we had Nick in Orlando for an IBM conference where IBM literally has a computer called Deep Blue. And both things are deep learning. So we talked about with products like Cortana and the Universal Translator and things like that coming because of a new renewed focus on deep learning, what other things could we think of that could come out of it? IBM has done Watson has come up with a barbecue sauce and a liquor. And so, there's super useful things like Cortana and a live universal translator, and then you've got barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Both important.
So, there's a wide variety of things that can come from deep learning. So we talked about what other things we could come up with that we'd like to see come out of that marketplace.
And tonight, this week's Nightcap, we have a question.
Excellent.
The question is, considering it's E3 week, now, at least live, considering it's E3 week, could be CES.
Shut it.
What was the, in all of your time being you, what was a game you were most excited to come out, and did it meet your expectations when it came out? Gaming.
I've got two.
Okay, cool. This will be exciting. We might even extend it to letdowns, since you're already prepared. I'm kind of not. I got the question. I need the answer. I'm working on part two.
That's okay. I had two pop into my head Both sequels, actually.
Very good. Good. So there's that. Now, we're going to change things up on the show tonight.
We are.
Because that's what I do when I get back. When people don't miss me.
Yeah,
I change things.
We're going to go from 16 by 9 to 4 by 3 for reasons that we can't quite understand.
I don't understand it. Because it worked for me last night.
Absolutely.
Week, right?
You were no 16 problem. By 9 the whole time.
Abram is broken.
I think we knew that.
Do you think he's not paying his ISP enough for 16 by 9?
Oh, there you go.
Is that maybe. What it is? Let's do this right now. This week's Pilch Point with online editorial director of Laptop Magazine and Tom's Guy. Proudly powered by Kreos.
And their new Meteor smartwatch. It's available in a variety of colors, different style bands, male and female, all kinds of different colors. It's got all the health sensors that you would expect from a smartwatch. And it works on iOS, Android, and natively on Windows Phone. Huzzah! And the colors for the bands match the Lumia colors pretty well. So... And if you don't like wearing it as a watch, you don't have to. You can wear it as a belt clip. You can get like a stopwatch style strap for it. Fantastic. If you're interested in picking up a smartwatch, you should check out the Meteor by Kreos by going to f5live.tv/Meteor. And that music means that it is time for the Pilch Point with online editorial director of Laptop Magazine and Tom's Guide, Abram Pilch. Abram, are you there?
I am.
Fantastic.
Nailed it.
We missed you last week.
Yeah, sorry about that. Hard to Skype from that hotel room that I had in Taipei because everything was coming out as like a tiny block. The hotel internet, like the time difference was one issue, but the fact that like when I did try Skyping with home, the video feed and the audio were pretty poor quality, not good enough for this show. It was unfortunate. Taipei is a very high tech city where I was for Computex 2014 show last week, but they don't have 4G LTE, and the hotel internet was decent, but not Skype worthy.
Well, you know, but that is okay because you are back this week. You've had a whole week of Computex, and you are ready to talk about it.
I am. So, for those of you who don't know me yet, I'm the online editorial director for Tom's Guide and Laptop Mag, and you can follow all of my coverage of and my colleagues' coverage of Computex at laptopmag.com and tomsguide.com, and follow me on Twitter at @geekinchief.
All right, so a whole week at Computex, in addition to playing around at the computer mall, which I know you do every year.
Yep.
Before we talk about Computex, what weird stuff did you see at the computer mall?
You know, not enough. I drove my colleague, Sherlyn Lowe, who was with me, crazy because we were there for like 3 hours. I'm like, well, we came here. And I don't want to leave without buying something, but I'm not going to buy something that I could easily get in the United States. And the problem is a lot of people think that going to the computer mall in Taiwan. Now, Taiwan has, for those, let's take a step back. The Taipei, the capital city of Taiwan, has a pretty big computer mall called the Guanghua Digital Plaza. It is six floors of nothing but computers and electronic stores. It's sort of like Newegg in person is the best way to describe it.
Okay.
Newegg, but in person. And if you're older like me and you remember going to computer shows on the weekends at like the local college and paying $7 to get in and having all these vendors at different tables, it's like that, but permanent. But unfortunately, as you go from place to place, yes, they're selling motherboards and CPUs and digital cameras and you know, all kinds of keyboards and mice, but it's mostly the same brands that you'll find in the U.S. If you want something really weird, you have to go to mainland China, to Shenzhen, where the stuff is made, because they don't have, they'll make knockoffs and things like that. But Taiwan, they're really respectful of intellectual property and things like that. So you don't see too much bizarre stuff. After looking around for 3 hours, I bought this because I haven't seen it regularly, and I thought my son, who loves cars, would like it. It is a car mouse.
Perfect. Which car is it?
I have no idea what car it is. I think it's just a fictional car. I don't think it's like a particular make and model. Lights up. Yeah, that was about the extent of the computer mall. Unfortunately, they had. It was mostly notebooks from the common vendors, Asus, MSI. They obviously Taiwanese vendors are big there, but you could also get Lenovo's and Dell's and so on. So nothing too exciting. The cost of some things was actually – nothing was lower than in the U.S., and the cost of some things was actually higher. Huh. So, for example, digital cameras, the cost is higher, I guess, because they're imported from Japan mostly. Apparently, there's this new digital camera that's all the rage in Taiwan. That's a Casio XLM-TR15, I think. It is a point-and-shoot that is made just for selfies and has an arm. And they were selling that for $33,000. I should say $33,000 Taipei dollars, which is like $1,200, which is still crazy for a point-and-shoot 12-megapixel camera.
Yeah.
And it was multiple stores selling it for that much. I would really like to figure out what the magic is in this camera, but
let me ask you a question. That was a trend. Here's a question.
Yeah.
Is it like in other countries in South America where that's the price, but you're expected to haggle?
No.
No. No. Okay.
No, it's not a haggling culture over there.
Fair enough.
And having looked it up on Amazon or whatever, this thing does sell for over $1,000, which is really bizarre to me for point and shoot. I hadn't seen it before I got there. But there's a lot of cool stuff I hadn't seen before I got there, and 99% of it was not the computer mall, because it was on the show floor at Computex Taipei, because it's not out yet. And that's what's particularly neat. So obviously this was a big show for high-res screens, which is a subject near and dear to, I think, all of our hearts.
Yes.
So still the price point is not becoming reasonable, but now at this show for the first time we saw some laptops with 4K displays. Asus, in fact, released a pair of them in the ZenBook NX500 and in the, I think it was Republic of Gamers GX500, both native 4K resolution on the display. So that was big. We also saw a slew of 3K displays. That's 3200 by 1800. Gigabyte released or showed off the Aorus X3 Plus, which is a 4.1 pound, 13.9 inch gaming notebook that has a 3200 by 1800 display. So that was pretty cool. So a lot of high res. We also saw some all in ones. MSI showed an all in one with a 4K display. So 4K and 3K and 2K displays over HD are becoming much more common, but still not cheap. None of these products is going to, even though we don't 100% know the price yet, I'm sure they're not going to cost significant. They're not going to cost much less than $1,000, probably more. So, you know, it's still not getting to the point where the masses are getting HD, full HD and higher. But for those who can afford it, we're now seeing more and more high res displays.
And so, and the trend has always been that, you know, they come out expensive and then they taper off over time, and that's so the fact that we're seeing more manufacturers get involved in it means that we're one step closer to finally seeing the prices come down to reasonable.
Hopefully. I mean, right before I left, I did a column, which we won't get too into here, about how for what you get for a $500 notebook today and what you got 3 years ago isn't that different. You're still getting a 1366 display. Mm-hmm. So I'll be impressed when you see, 1080p and higher displays on notebooks that have an average cost. And these days, average is $485 is the average selling price of a PC notebook. We're still not there, but you're right. Having better quality components in the high end eventually will hopefully trickle down to the low end devices.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. It hasn't so great so far, but you know, we'll see. Obviously, a huge announcement at the show was Intel Core M. That's the first CPU based on Intel's 14 nanometer Broadwell platform. That means 14 nanometer process means lower power, lower heat, but higher performance. And I got to see a couple of systems based on it. ASUS has announced its, I think it's Transformer Book Qi 300, which uses the Core M. And I got to personally go hands-on with Intel's Llama Mountain, they call it reference hybrid.
Did you?
That had Core M. Yes, I got to touch it. I haven't washed my hands since because I don't. There might be a micromolecule of Core M here, and I don't want to lose it. But it was pretty impressive just how thin it is. It's about like 0.3 inches thin, and yet it stayed absolutely cool to the touch while I was using it. It's completely fanless design, and supposedly it's going to be 20 to 40% faster than today's fanless. Fanless tablets based on the current Haswell platform. So really, really, really impressive. And I hope to see a bunch of stuff with Core M inside, you know, probably in, I would say at least in time for the holiday, if not some back to school. Another trend that was huge at this year's show, if you want to call it a trend, was heads up displays by really small manufacturers. So my favorite thing at Computex is not going to the Intel press conference or seeing the boatload of products that ASUS rolls out. Those are always to be expected and always useful and helpful. But what's really fun is hanging around Hall 3. This year was Hall 3. Other years been another hall where there are all these small local Taiwanese vendors who sort of have a dream to produce something like a wearable computer, and they're showing off their prototypes. And so you see some pretty neat, very raw stuff that may eventually come to market or may not, but is really kind of interesting.
Boy, and what a shocker. Avram likes to find the oddball stuff.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's particularly like, you know, at CES, yes, you find oddball stuff, but Computex is the best. And it was particularly great this year because my co-worker Sherlyn Lowe, who came with me, unlike me, who's been trying for years to learn Chinese, is totally fluent in Mandarin. So we were really able to get some good scoops from some of these vendors who otherwise would have a hard time communicating with the Western media. And we found some really neat things. For example, the ViewPhone phone station. This is kind of hilarious in its simplicity. It is a thing that holds up your phone in front of your face with two eyepieces, and you play 3D content on your phone because it just like splits the phone into two screens basically, and then you can sort of see 3D things being projected right into your eye. But it doesn't connect to your phone via wireless or wired. You just literally put your phone in like a case that's in front of the eyepieces and wear the phone on your head.
And wow. Okay.
And that's going to be about $30 when it comes out, because it really shouldn't cost more. It's just a bunch of mirrors and a thing to hold up your phone. That was kind of funky. I really liked the ChipSip Simi, or they pronounce it Simi, S-I-M-E, which is a Google Glass competitor. That we've been following for a few months now. It's almost ready for prime time. It looks a lot like Google Glass, but it runs full Android, which means you can do things like have Google Hangouts chats with people on it, and they can see what you're seeing, and you can do augmented reality on it. There's a lot of limitations with Google Glass. There's not a lot of things that make it past sort of Google's glassware approval. But with this, since it's pure Android, you can put whatever you want on it, which means a much richer experience in theory. And you know, it run. You can literally use your hand as a mouse and like roll over icons and touch them. So that was pretty cool. It also had Miracast, so you could actually display what you're seeing on an external screen.
Nice,
which is neat. My new profile picture is of me wearing the V mask, which is that sounds somewhat sick. The V mask, wearing the V mask, which is a another heads up display. It's primarily for entertainment. You plug it in via USB and you can watch any movie or anything that's content on your phone being projected into your eyes, but you can also see through it so you can kind of walk around while you're watching a movie. Although I found it a little difficult to see through it when the movie was kind of intense, but that was pretty cool. We saw another device called the head-mounted display 3330, which uses wireless, uses basically DLNA to connect to your phone and show you the content of your phone on your screen. So there's a couple of different things going on. There are standalone wearables, and then there are things that are basically a peripheral for your phone to get the content of your phone in front of your eyes. And when you think about it, that's actually not such a bad idea. I mean, it's primarily being targeted for entertainment like movies and maybe games. But if you could put the camera and the display technology in here, why do you even need the processing to go and the apps to be in here when they could be on your phone? And that's probably a lot cheaper than trying to manufacture something like Google Glass, put the intelligence into the phone instead, which is already very capable and most and everybody has, and just do, you know, a Bluetooth pairing. Makes a lot of sense. So you know, not a lot in the way of watches. I mean, there were a couple of you know, really lame watches on display. But the other thing I saw that really blew my mind were the wearable health monitors. So everybody's got a fitness band these days. They're going to be giving them away in Cheerio boxes pretty soon. But this company AIQ, which Intel's actually invested in them a little bit, has is that they are selling, they're making shirts with sensors in them. So, for example, Chunghwa Telecom, the largest telecom provider in Taiwan, is working on was showing off some shirts for old people. And what you do with them is they have special fibers in them that can detect your heart rate, skin temperature, whether you're breathing or not, whatever. And then they have like a little Bluetooth thing on the sleeve, which you can pop on and off if you change shirts. And then it sends a message with that data out to, you know, to another device, which might send it out to the internet. And so if you've fallen and you can't get up, you don't have to call someone. You don't have to hit a button. Your caregiver will get an alert that you're not feeling well. And they can also track your vitals over time to say, hey, this person seems to be having a breathing problem or whatever. So really interesting technology to kind of keep track of your health just by clothing that you wear rather than by a bracelet. And it potentially can measure a lot more than a bracelet, because while the ones they were showing didn't measure that many different vitals, AIQ has ones that will do like an EEG and an EKG, like on you, an ECG on you as you walk around. So so pretty neat stuff in terms of wearables and monitoring your body. The final thing I really just had to throw in there is that there were some really wackadoodle things that we saw on the last day, and one of them is a seatbelt monitor that beeps if your kid tries to unbuckle their seatbelt in the back seat, but it's also designed to beep if you walk away from the car and leave your kid in the back seat. Like, that kind of struck me as a little bit weird, because it is a problem, but if you're aware that that's a problem, aware enough of the problem, why would you need to buy something? Like, it's if you're that kind of careless person that leaves your kid in the back seat, you probably wouldn't go and buy a device to prevent you from doing it. But they're working on it.
See, I think that's for like manufacturers like Ford and such to then buy from them and implement into the car just automatically instead of the negligent father buying it.
Sure, that makes sense.
No, it's correct because you really can't change the – I don't know if you can really change buckles on your seatbelt. So it's meant to be sold. They were talking about maybe as part of a car seat, maybe to the car manufacturer. Probably part of a car seat would work out better because they don't have to penetrate like the halls of power at the major auto manufacturers for that. So who knows whether we'll see that. But it was interesting to see just the types of things that – that these small companies are thinking of.
Yeah, and that, you know, we've talked before, especially during or after CES, that, you know, your favorite, our favorite things to see are the oddballs, and like you said, there's no better place than Computex for that.
Yeah, it's really I mean that's the real fun. I mean, if we picked our best laptops and tablets from Computex, and I encourage the listeners to go and check them out. We have this one list on laptopmag.com and another on tomsguide.com that you can see you know, some of the best mainstream products, laptops, tablets. We even did pick most innovative and best wearables, but you know, the most enjoyable thing that we do is find just interesting things that are kind of on the cutting edge. And so we have a list on Tom's Guide that you should definitely check out of the weirdest gadgets that we saw at Computex. And, you know, weird doesn't necessarily mean bad. It also means interesting. It also means, you know, coming to you soon, perhaps. We saw a 3D scanner. That was pretty cool. We saw a 3D all-in-one printer scanner. I mean, those are things that you might really become part of your life soon.
One of the things that's always interesting about the oddball stuff is that while the little companies may not bring them to market as is, they can either get purchased or, you know, the idea might spark some other thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, you may see this somewhere else, and who knows, it could be a copy, it could be that the property was licensed. You know, none of these Taiwanese companies really has a great deal of ambition in terms of getting their brand out there. They're hoping to sell it so that it can be marketed under someone else's brand. So, you know, it's unlikely that you'll see these things. You know, you'll see these things on Amazon.com anytime soon under the brands that we saw them, but there's a decent possibility you'll see them under a more famous brand or something that's very similar to them. So, you know, it's just really interesting to see where things are going. You know, maybe a year or two from now, we'll see that baby seats have this function on it, and little, you know, to most people, maybe it started right in Hall 3 of Computex.
Absolutely.
Right. Really cool stuff. Well, Abram.
But of course, it's not just wearables and things like that that we saw this week. In addition to Computex, which some of this comes out of, we also had Samsung's Tizen event, right?
Yep.
So did you guys have anybody there?
Yes, we did. We had someone. We had someone at the event. They found the phone, you know, pretty useful as far as they could see. I mean, I think what's interesting about Tizen is I've actually tried installing the emulator on my PC, the SDK stuff.
Right.
A little difficult to install, I might add. You know, it looks and feels very much like Android, and you just really get the sense, I just really get the sense that it's not there to be innovative. It's there to kind of to allow a breakup of Samsung and Google.
Absolutely. So
it's there so that Samsung can completely divorce itself from Google. And obviously that's the challenge, but I don't know that it's not necessarily good for consumers at all, because now you're fragmenting what has been a fairly big platform. You're going to have people develop for Tizen. Since Samsung is such a big player, they probably will be able to get companies to develop for Tizen, but now you're adding expense and pain for developers. And what's going to be the result of this? Is it going to hurt, say, HTC and Motorola because they're sticking with Android and they're not going with Tizen? Is it going to hurt Samsung because developers are going to keep their investment with Android? Is it going to force some concessions out of Google to allow Samsung to do what they want with Android? I don't know. I think this is part of the reason. I think this is a little bit of a scary time if you're an Android developer, because Samsung is kind of messing with your livelihood.
Right.
You know, if you're a consumer, it's like, which horse are you going to bet on? It's pretty safe bet to bet on Android, but you know, if next year's flagship Samsung phone, which everyone always looks forward to, is Tizen only, I think it's a big risk for Samsung, but it's a bigger risk for Google at this point. Part of the problem is that Google has not been a good parent to Android in the last year or two. They have barely updated the operating system. I went to Google I/O the last couple of years. They barely even hold sessions or talk about Android anymore. They're all about Chrome OS. In their sort of absentee landlord business, they've kind of made an opening for Samsung here. I think Tizen phones could sort of match the functionality that Samsung has brought to Android. The question is it a standard anyone else is going to adopt? Right. I think the answer is no.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But you know, Samsung has been very clear, particularly over the last 2 years, about their displeasure with the shifting sands of the Android manufacturing requirements, and they're particularly unhappy with the requirement to have the Android logo as part of the boot splash screen or something like that. Because, you know, Samsung goes to a tremendous amount of trouble to kind of hide Android.
Yeah.
The TouchWiz interface is all very custom. It's very Samsung, and of course Tizen looks very much like the Android of Samsung, which you would expect them to do to make it a more natural progression between the two handsets, just like we talked about, I guess it was last week while you were off, we talked about that the Galaxy Gear got a swap out from Android to Tizen, and visually there's zero change, but they got a lot of the new Gear 2 functionality. I think Samsung is just frustrated with the way Google does things and is threatening them in one way or another.
Well, I hope Google gives in, because it's just bad for everybody, and particularly bad for other Android makers like Motorola and HTC, because on the one hand they could claim to be doing pure Android, but if Samsung's not supporting it, the platform is in trouble.
Right, absolutely. And that kind of leads us into the second part of this. It's not just Tizen handsets that we saw announced this week. We saw a number of small manufacturers who we have traditionally associated the small manufacturers with building Android devices. We saw them go Windows Phone instead. There's Blue and Prestigio and Yez. These, you know, not big global players like Samsung, who also seem to be shifting in a different direction, but not having the resources of Samsung to either build their own operating system or bet on an oddball. You know, they don't have the resources to be able to bet on Tizen and hope for its success. And so these three, in addition to three others, all talked about in one way or another Windows Phone handsets.
Because, I think it comes down to licensing.
Yeah, because Microsoft recently dropped the licensing fee.
Yeah, I think it comes down to licensing. So now they don't have a licensing fee. In fact, with Android, I think they had to pay Microsoft $15 or something because of the various patents that Microsoft claims within Android.
It actually it depends on the manufacturer. It ranges between 6 and 15. I think LG is the highest.
One way or the other, they have to pay some kind of fee. And this way they don't have to pay any fee. Beyond that, it's a chance to differentiate because everybody's seen low-cost Android devices. We've sort of been there, done that. So
exactly.
Maybe this is their way to differentiate. Like, look, we have Windows Phone. There's not actually that many companies making Windows Phone, particularly in the U.S. So here's actually a chance to stand out and to be different. So good for them and good for Microsoft because that's been an issue is trying to win at the low end where Android has been dominant.
Right.
So,
because, you know, they've got the Lumia 520 and 620 and now 630, which are in the low end range. The HTC 8S never made it to a carrier here. You had the 8XT, which was kind of the 8S on Sprint, but they jacked the price up on it above what the hardware was worth. So you've only got the 520 and the 620, and they only work GSM, which leaves Verizon out in the cold.
Yep. So yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see more. I think we're going to see more Windows phones from low-cost manufacturers. I think we're also going to see more experimentation from the major manufacturers. I believe Samsung came out with announced a new Windows phone not long ago after not doing one for like 6 months or a year. Yeah. So I think
the new Verizon phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the licensing thing is going to move people. I think also with obviously with the low cost of, I think we're in for a new generation of low cost Windows tablets as well.
Yeah.
With a special Bing version of Windows 8. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think this is Microsoft's trying to move the needle. I think whether they're able to move the needle will really depend on the value proposition of the hardware. The software is good. You can sell people on the software. I mean, obviously with apps, it would help if we saw more app parity on Windows Phone. But I think particularly for cost sensitive users, it's, am I going to get something that looks and feels premium? Right. And you know, the Blues of the world might be in a position to deliver it, particularly if they're targeting the low cost carriers like the no contract carriers like Virgin and Cricket and so on.
Right. So the Yes handsets, which they've bought into the concept so much that their handsets are actually called Billy after Bill Gates. There's a 4 and a 4.7 inch. The 4 inch handset is going to outright be $139, which puts it right in between the Lumia 520 and 620 price points, which is a great place for one of these guys to be. Then you've got, you've even got a couple of companies who didn't physically show off hardware, but you've got Winstron and Compal, which is a company who has actually released products under the Nokia brand in the past, both announcing upcoming Windows Phone devices. And then the VP of OEM partners at Microsoft, Nick Parker, said that HTC is legitimately working on another Windows Phone, which, you know, we've had rumors for a month or so that they're working on an HTC One variant running a Windows Phone, and this certainly lends credence to that rumor. So that would put another player in the high end of the race, which would be fun. It would be nice to have, you know, the HTC 8X was a kind of a middle of the road handset, especially compared to the 920s of the world. But so you got these companies like Yes coming in at the $130 price point. Then you got an HTC One running Windows Phone. There's a lot of players coming in all over the map.
Yeah, I think, Windows Phone is, I believe, growing faster outside the U.S. than in.
Yes.
So I think there's a good chance for Microsoft to take some share, particularly on the low cost part of the market, which has traditionally been Android the last few years. Mm-hmm. So no doubt that the licensing change is really good for Microsoft. And of course, one of the things that they've also done is lower the hardware requirements for Windows Phone,
right?
So that you're able to run it on lesser hardware, which is also cheaper. So, I think it's going to depend on the ability to market it by having really good looking phones, mm-hmm. and potentially doing what they can to differentiate on the software side. But now, because Windows Phone is such a minority operating system, it's such a low market share right now that it seems unique compared even to a skin version of Android. You know, once you get up into having a lot of competition in Windows Phone, Then I think there will be more concern by the OEMs about how do we make our phone different than other Windows phones.
Sure.
But right now, and that I think was a legit concern a couple of years ago when Windows Phone was new, was like, oh, okay, I can scan Android to make it look like mine, but now my phone's UI looks so much like Nokia's, looks so much like Samsung's. How do I stand out?
Sure.
And Android still offers that, but right now the numbers are so low that I think if they can come up with compelling hardware, they can probably just sell people on the operating system.
Absolutely. And now that with Windows Phone 8.1, hardware manufacturers have the option to remove the capacitive buttons at the bottom and turn on and off the three buttons across the bottom. More people seem to, hardware seems to be interested in that, since that's the way Android has been for a while, has had the ability to do the on-screen soft buttons as opposed to the physical three capacitive buttons.
Yeah, I mean, that probably saves them some money.
Yeah.
Based on my experience with my toddler trying to touch a touchscreen, I prefer the physical ones because he accidentally hits the soft ones all the time. But, it is another way that they can differentiate. And so hopefully HTC, which is really good at doing software and interface, can at least do something unique, maybe with a camera app or something like Nokia has done.
Absolutely.
To try and make their Windows Phone stand out.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of possibility. I know that Blue has got, for their Android phones, has got a customized camera app, particularly some selfie thing, because that's the word this year, right? So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that app on Windows Phone, and I'm so curious that I've already contacted them about it. So, because Blue's an interesting company, they're based in Miami, so they're unique in that they're actually a U.S. hardware phone company.
Yep, we've been in touch with them a few times. I think we should, now that this is going on, we're going to make a more concerted effort to get some of their products into review, because it's very interesting.
Well, I've started a bit of a relationship with them, so I will push their contact information your way. And speaking of contact information, Avram, before we get out of here, give him yours one more time.
So I'm the online editorial director for Tom's Guide and Laptop Mag. You can check out all of our news at tomsguide.com and laptopmag.com, and follow me on Twitter at @GeekinChief.
Very cool stuff, Avram.
The next topic we're going to get into is talking about E3 coming up, and we know that you guys have Cherie in LA, so definitely keep up with them this coming week.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep, you do.
Thanks, Avram.
Talk to you guys later.
Ciao.
This week's Extra Life on F5 Live is proudly powered by Origin by Electronic Arts. Look, if you haven't been, look right here at me, and then at the camera, and then back at me. Suddenly I'm a peach.
You're on a horse. Keep going.
If you haven't heard about Origin, you need to. It's great. And they're having a great promotion to allow you to try out the platform and discover great new games. I'm speaking about the On the House program by Origin. On the House, what is that, you ask? I'm glad you asked. I will tell you. On the House is free games.
It's the wonderful trend that has taken off within the gaming industry.
It's amazing. Free games on the platform. If you want to try, if you want to stray away from that other platform, or you want to find a good one, you can do that with Origin, the game of the time right now. I can't say week or month because we don't know when it's
because
ending.
Because it changes when it changes.
Is Plants vs. Zombies currently free? Of course, Dead Space and Battlefield 3 were also options, and I believe Dead Space is still available in certain areas for free.
Did Battlefield 3 go away already?
I'm sure that's a round two.
Interesting.
So, what's the catch? None. It's free. How long do you have the game for? Forever, as long as you have a computer with an Origin account. And why is Origin doing this? To get you to try Origin.
Why not?
And why not? Because it's Plants vs. Zombies.
Indeed.
Go download the game if you haven't yet. Go check out all the other great games. If you don't like a game, EA's Great Game Guarantee says if you bought it digitally and you hated it, contact EA. They'll refund your money. No questions asked. You can go buy yourself a new game. All of that.
So if you dislike Plants vs. Zombies, you can get all of your $0 back.
All of them back. Go get all your dollars back. Go buy some games at f5live.tv/Origin. All right, we're talking about games.
I've got Plants vs. Zombies.
Games. Me too. It's great.
I like it. It's such a goofy game.
I have it for Xbox, Android, Windows Phone, Origin.
Yikes. So you have a problem. Is what I heard. And speaking of problems,
I picked them up for free on two platforms.
Nice.
Xbox offered it last month for free. So it was good.
Very nice.
Now, talking about gaming, of course. So there's a little elephant in the room we should address. That is E3.
Yes.
What's going on with E3? Says the questions coming from the at Pluckett's Live, by the way. Very good question. What is going on with E3? You may have read our articles. You may have seen our content in the past couple of years. We've had both sides of the coin. We've covered all the news.
We have.
From all of the conferences.
Yes, we have.
Every year, whether we were out there or not, we've covered them.
Absolutely. And this year, we're going to take a pass because E3 has been ruined for us this year and kind of ruined for everybody this year.
For a lot of reasons.
Because of the thing that's sitting in front of us.
I got these papers.
We actually have the rundowns for the press conferences. They've been online, some of them, for a week.
Oh, my God.
I saw the Nintendo one almost a week ago now.
Right. Yeah, it's been a while.
So we're going to take a pass on our coverage this year. And what we'll do is we'll do a recap next week.
Yep. Of the exciting things that maybe we were surprised by.
Right. And I don't really expect to be surprised by much. Again, because we have the rundowns.
It's all right here.
Already. Which is disappointing that this type of thing is happening.
Especially because these specifically say NDA on them. Which means someone's getting fired.
Absolutely. So, E3 has gotten, over the last couple of years, has gotten a little out of hand. It seems to be run as a side project, which is different from all of the other events that we cover.
Right.
Any event that we, particularly that we go to, we make sure that the event is run on purpose. And what I mean by that is, you know, whether it be something as small and local as MakerCon.
Yeah.
Or as internationally huge as CES, both of them are run by people who run them. So, like, that is their focus during that time period is running the event. They're not bouncing around doing whatever, and this is their side project. This is something they take on because they want to. And E3 has never really felt that way. It has always felt accidental.
Yeah. It definitely felt more that way when they shifted to the everyone can come. And then to the, if you know someone who knows someone whose dog worked at GameStop.
It was technically never anyone can come. Their press credentials were just very, very lax.
Right. But that was the mentality.
And then they went the other direction.
Right.
And they got super strict, which wasn't better. And an overcorrection of that magnitude shows a lack of understanding of
why
who you are. Yeah. So E3 is currently out of hand. Maybe one day the people who run it will grow up or whatever the problem is. I don't know what the problem is. We have had direct interaction with the people there, and
it's not been pleasant.
It has never been positive.
Yeah. It's frustrating.
But we've ignored it and continued to cover it. But this year, we literally don't have a reason to, because nothing should be a surprise to anybody, because these things are all over the internet. Everybody has seen them.
It's two
levels. The only surprise, like let's take Nintendo, for example, because it's one of the ones right in front of us. Out of the entire rundown, the only thing that was a surprise was they're doing a new Professor Layton game, and who cares? That's not the kind of thing that gets press coverage. It's the reason why we didn't already know about it.
It's two things. I think the first thing is that last year we could have had a reason to not go, but we had to because consoles. Had to cover consoles.
Yeah, absolutely.
Consoles are a reason we put full force into the coverage we put on.
Absolutely.
Last year.
So we had to cover the only two guys who were there, because Nintendo didn't actually show anything because they took a pass. So, what? This is Microsoft and Sony's show. Let them have it. And they did what they did. And they showed off hardware.
And they've decided to keep it that way this year. Nintendo. They're not doing a conference either this year. They're doing a Nintendo Direct on Tuesday. Then the other thing is...
Which shows one of two things. Either Nintendo straying from gaming... like straying from hardcore gaming or could looking be. For those people, or it could show Nintendo's lack of faith in E3 as an event.
And I'm more geared towards the latter, because
me too.
Here's the other thing. It used to be Monday would be Microsoft's thing.
Monday night, Microsoft.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Was it Monday night or Sunday night?
Monday night. Event starts on Sunday was the pre-stuff. Even back in the day.
Yes, because Sunday night was the Cirque du Soleil show.
Yeah. All the...
That we missed because we were on the air. And then... Then the press conference.
So Monday night was the thing. Then they bumped it to Monday. But whatever. Monday was the thing for Microsoft. Kick off the show just like at CES.
Yep.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Different manufacturers and other gaming companies doing gaming things. Activision, whomever.
The comment about Professor Layton was about press coverage, not about the quality of the game.
Yes.
So now, responding to the chat room over in the corner. Sorry.
F5live.tv/join us. Join us there. Now we've seen a shift. Everything on my sheet, everything that I've received for press, I've gotten all the news already.
Mm-hmm.
It's embargoed. And then number two, everything happens tomorrow, Monday.
Yes.
Everything happens Monday. The show floor doesn't open till Tuesday.
Yes. All the press conferences have gotten moved to tomorrow. Everything is taking place tomorrow. Then the show floor, which is not the highlight of the show, it's the press conferences. The show floor is Tuesday and half of Wednesday.
Yeah. And even then, even after this overcorrection and the change in everything, you still have the same 45 to 48,000 people. I don't know how the number stays the same if you overcorrect. And you still have the same two lines, VIP and non, that are both 5+ hours long.
Yep.
That's not how a trade show is supposed to work, no, which is not. Why I believe I found the nervous tick I do where I scratch again. I got to stop that. Which is why I believe they are not a trade show. They are a...
They're a press show. They're not a trade show. But the problem... The problem that they have that is difficult for them to overcome is the fact that the industry is so small.
It's true.
So because the there are so few players who are capable of exhibiting
right
at E3,
right,
the show floor is very small.
It is.
And so you've got 45,000 people in the LA Convention Center, and there are
5 people.
16 to 20 booths that have something legitimately to show off.
It doesn't work.
45,000 people are trying to see 20 things
in 2 days.
And so you end up with lines that are insane, and so nobody actually gets to see anything, and all of the press, all of the coverage is actually based on the press releases that I already have.
Yeah, that we've had for a week.
Yeah. So
it's frustrating.
So because of that, we're at a point where E3 is larger than itself. The event has gotten to be bigger than the news that comes out of it, and the coverage has gotten to be larger than the amount of stuff that's shown off. So we're going to go ahead and take a pass. We will do a recap of the best and brightest of E3.
And we'll be writing this week.
Absolutely.
There's a thing.
Yeah. You know, we're just not going to be, we're not going
to
do a,
we didn't fly out to LA.
Yeah. We're not going to do a per press event live show like we've done in the past. We're not in LA. We're right here in the studio, obviously, as you can tell. Though the studio is designed to come with us, we are physically still in our normal studio.
But here's what you can do.
You'll usually know that we're in a different place by the chairs.
The chairs or the headsets.
That's true.
We usually leave these and bring the headsets. They're easier to move for me.
The chairs are the expensive thing to move. Moving the actual studio would be pretty easy.
Yes.
It's designed that way on purpose.
So here's what you can do. You can watch us on Sunday. You can follow us on F5Live.tv, PlugitsLive.com. And there's a couple of great friends we have.
Absolutely.
That are out there doing their thing because they are first gamer journalists.
Yes.
That is their main focus.
Which is obviously different from what we do. We have gaming as a subject on the show, but we also have gadgets, internet media. We talk about a lot of stuff.
It's a little potpourri over here.
So we're not gaming focused, but we have people who are, and they're out there. We've got...
Can I drop a couple names?
We've got, like I mentioned a little while ago, we've got Cherie Smith from Laptop Mag and yes. Tom's Guide, who is covering it, obviously, for them. And ideally, we'll have her on the show next Sunday because that's been kind of the trend. 2 years ago, she was live with us in L.A. the night before that we skipped the Microsoft Circ show to do our show, and we all got together, and then we went and screwed around at the Santa Monica Pier, which was fun. And then we've got
if you want something wacky and off the wall,
absolutely
go check out Hip Hop Gamer and his coverage. Gerard is amazing.
Just know that he is wacky and off the wall. You have to know that going into it.
He has a different view on the world, and I love him for it.
Yes.
And he fully believes everything he says, and he's passionate about gaming first. Industry first.
Honestly, I just wish when he was in public, he'd bring it down about 10%.
That would make him so recognizable then, I believe.
Yeah, but it also would have gotten him less negative press last year.
There's that. But either way, I
personally
love him for it.
Got articles written about his response in the Sony press conference.
It's true,
which was unbelievable.
But you know, now more people know him about it because of it. So I don't know. It might work for him, but either way, Hip Hop Gamer has coverage.
He
from
does.
All sides: Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony.
He'll be fun.
And of course,
Jake James.
Yes, the Coalition. Go check that out with a K, K O A L I T I O N. Check them out. all week long. They have tasked themselves this year with a daily podcast. So to that, I wish them the best of luck.
Yes.
Because we've played that game.
Absolutely. We actually abandoned that at CES last year.
It takes a lot, buddies.
Because after being on the show floor all day and then having after hours things, wow, our nightly evening recap had to be scrapped at CES.
Now, we've done dailies out there in LA, so it's absolutely not, so maybe for E3 this will work. But yes, they're doing one, and it's going to be great. They got a bunch of people out there. They have a bunch of people at home, at the home studio, working together to make that a reality. Check them out. Tell them the Penguin and Scott sent you, because we want to support them and their efforts.
Because Jake James is a really good guy. He's a really good friend of ours. We've worked together with him, and in fact, later in the year at an event we're going to get to work with him again.
We've single-handedly propelled his career to this level. Again, another person that we've created.
The Colbert Bump.
We've molded them. That's what we do. And so check all that stuff out, and then come back to us for recap and stuff, because we're going to do that, and we'll talk to you about some fun things, because it's all right here. And then I end with this.
Yeah, we can get started writing tonight, because
that's it.
It all exists already.
And I end with this. To everyone listening, if I can just take 15 seconds and remind you that if you don't own stock in a company, you don't get the right to just blast them online. I mean, you can do it, but don't expect them to change. Because at the end of the day, I brought that one back just one time, gaming is a privilege, not a right.
I ended on that.
Have to. Have to. That's our show.
It is.
F5Live.tv. Click the subscribe buttons on the right-hand side. Many thanks to Avram for sticking around for the long haul.
Yeah, he did a long segment with us tonight. Three quarters of the show was with Avram, which was fun. It's always, I love the long segments with Avram.
People want to know if there's a stream for E3. Yes, there is. Go to twitch.tv. They have 12 channels dedicated to E3 stuff.
Do they?
The Frag Dolls will be on there.
Absolutely.
Doing coverage with Ubisoft. So I always have to shout them out because they're great. But they have 12 channels, all the conferences, and then obviously on your Xbox, you can watch the Microsoft conference.
Absolutely.
Do that.
Probably, you can probably see the PlayStation conference on the PlayStation.
I would imagine so. I can't attest to that.
I can't say that for sure. And the Nintendo Direct is always available.
Always.
Yeah, to anybody, those are always out there. And Nintendo Direct is not, I don't think it's ever a live thing. I think they just publish it, right?
Yeah, they did half live last year. So looking
at
this,
there was the live thing, and then there was the weird Miyamoto
in a banana suit. I don't remember what, eating a banana. It was weird.
Yeah,
love it.
I didn't know what to do with that last year. It was so weird.
Very strange. What we look forward to, though. It's what we look forward to.
Yeah, it's Nintendo for you.
So check all that stuff. I just realized that next week is Father's Day. Special start time. We don't know when. Follow us on Twitter. We'll figure it out. Might not be Sunday.
It might have to be Saturday.
Might be Friday. Who knows?
Who knows? Keep an eye out. We'll have a...
It'll be a small recap when we get Cherie.
It'll have to
happen.
And
figure out scheduling.
Yep.
That's life.
Have to see if the Frag Dolls can join us. We might have to do a couple of little sporadic things. We'll do what we do.
I'm not even worried about it.
We'll keep you posted on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, wherever you are.
Yes. Follow. Connect and engage. Check out our YouTube. Do all that stuff. So, on behalf of the staff that's not here, I'm Nick.
And I'm Scott.
Good luck to all of our people out in LA. Have a safe trip back, and we will see you next time.
Ciao.
Next time. Just throw it out, though. Random times.